Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Right, we're doing it. It's Ready Player 2, episode 85. We're back. Way before Christmas, when hot ticket games like Fallout 76 and Red Dead Redemption 2 were right on the pulse of the gaming industry, Fallout 76 was making all the wrong noises for all the wrong reasons, and Red Dead Redemption 2 was making all the right noises for all the amazing reasons, we recorded a podcast about both games, making sure that we kept right on the bleeding edge of everything that was going on at the time. We then lost the audio, and that podcast never came out. But we're here to rectify that now, so in true Ready Player 2 style, an entire year later, we are now going to talk about the hot ticket game items at the back end of 2018. With me today, I have Mr. Ross of a Bellbag.
Hello.
And Mr. Lewis Knight.
Hello.
My name is Rich, and we're going to be talking about all the great things that happened probably about a year and a half ago in gaming. If you follow us already, which you should do, on Twitter, that's at ReadyP2, you will have already seen some of the stuff that we've been doing over Christmas and some of the streams and things that we've been putting out there. We're going to talk about some of those things and others. How are we doing, guys? You all right?
Yeah, good, mate.
Yeah, very well.
New year, new me and all that fucking bollocks.
New year, slightly larger me, I've got to be honest.
Yeah, new year, same old me.
It's regular me. I'm a bit bigger. I'm not going to lie. Good. A little bit larger. There was an awful lot of beer and cake over Christmas, and it all went a bit wrong.
Together or all?
Yeah, same time.
Beer cake.
Yeah, it's part of a balanced diet, Lewis.
Solution.
You got to make sure that you have an equal amount of weight in both hands.
Two of your five a day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, did we all have a great time over Christmas?
Yeah, great fun.
I was working for most of it.
Oh, but that sucks. But you had a good time afterwards?
Yes, definitely.
And did we get funky, fresh, amazing gaming-related things for Christmas?
No, fuck all.
Really?
Not a single game.
Right, this is how predictable I've become in old age now. Every single member of both my family and... not all of my family, because we did a Secret Santa, but everybody who is related to me, who wasn't part of that Secret Santa, bought me Steam vouchers. every single person. I didn't get anything other than Steam vouchers from anybody else. And like previous years, I've had mini rants, because people say, well, what do you want? Cash.
Yeah.
Well, we don't want to give you cash. It doesn't feel like a proper present. But I want cash. I want money.
That's what I want, damn
right?
It.
But, well, how about a voucher? Okay, how about this? You take the £20 you were going to spend on the voucher, right? Put it in a card and just give me that. That's fine.
Yeah.
So then they go, oh, it doesn't feel like a proper present. So I end up with fucking vouchers for game, vouchers for Amazon, vouchers for Steam, and then the random person gives me Marks and Spencer's vouchers because he could do with some more books, right? And then I've got all these fucking vouchers and I've got no idea what to do. I've got like £15 at Amazon. What am I going to do with that? It's not like I can put them together. So I end up selling them to Hannah.
Selling them to your wife.
Yeah. Here, you have this £15 Amazon voucher and give me £15. You're about to buy something anyway. But no, I've got all Steam this year, so it's good. So I've been a bit spoilt for choice because there's been loads of Steam sales and everything on. But I've been balls deep in games. I've had so many. And then a super special thing happened at Christmas. I got a Switch.
You were a really good boy, weren't you?
I was a really good boy. I was so very good that I got an entire Switch and extra Joy-Cons and everything. We're a Nintendo household now. And it's brilliant. Yeah. It's really, really good. Have you got a Switch, Ross?
I was going to say, how much of the kids not being allowed to play it then?
Oh, no. So the kids are allowed to play it whenever they want, as long as I'm not on it. And there's been a couple of times where they've gone, yeah, let's go play Smash Bros. Where's the Switch gone? And I've gone, this guy's great, it being portable. They're not allowed to undock it, right? So they've been told in no uncertain terms that if they undock it, I will then dock them.
A
So I will find a way of slotting them into the dock. So they're not undocking it, but I am, and it's great because I just get to walk off and play it wherever I want, and it's fantastic. Has anybody else got one of these? Is it just me?
Yeah, it's just you. Lee's got one.
Lee's got one as well. I'm going to talk about this without him here, because if I only spoke about games that me and Lee had in common, I wouldn't talk. So that's
not... I've convinced Lee to let us have one as well, so we're getting one.
You're going to get one. Oh, yeah. Do you know what, mate? It's a really remarkably good piece of kit. Yeah, it really is. I am quite impressed. Part of it is that it's just a really natty, very cool piece of kit. Mm. The second part is the games are very cleverly designed. Because Zelda, as an example, it looks amazing. It looks breathtaking in a lot of places. But realistically, in terms of, you know, big name games nowadays, 4K graphics, HDR, you know, really fine detail, 100 gig installs, all the rest of it, it's not that detailed. What they've done is they've kind of cel-shaded it, similar to Wind Waker, and used that to offset the fact that they don't need to make it all that detailed, but then done a lot of very, very clever little things within the game to add texture, to add more detail, even though it's not having to render all that much. And the result is something that looks really, really nice, plays extremely well, and doesn't overtax the hardware. But that thing, that's the Switch is tiny. I don't think I really appreciated this properly before. The thing is really, really small. It is not much bigger than my phone. Yeah. So we're playing these things, and they're on cases, and they're on stands. They're attached to a little arm thing that's, like, welded and screwed to the desk, and you couldn't go anywhere with them or anything. Or you were just holding the Joy-Cons, and the thing was connected to a TV, and you never actually saw the Switch at all.
No.
But, yeah, the thing's tiny. It's not much bigger than my phone. It genuinely is not much bigger than my Galaxy Note. But it's kicking out some pretty impressive stuff.
I think that's not really a good thing to say, Rich, because the Galaxy Note is fucking enormous.
Yeah, it is pretty big. It is pretty big. Once you get the hang of sewing extra large pockets onto all the trousers that you wear that you buy, then it's not a problem.
A lot of combat trousers, which was.
There's a lot. I just cut the pockets. I cut holes in the pockets. Yeah, and then tights in.
I was going to say, cutting holes in your pockets has got nothing to do with your phone.
It's a bit counterintuitive. You just got to put like a leg holster in there. Or, you know. But the Switch, do you know what? I felt like the Wii was a fad. It was a gimmick, right? Yeah. I got one. Because everyone I got did. One. Everybody got one. And it was. It was a gimmick. It was a fad. The waggly motion controllers were great, and, you know, it was kind of entertaining for party gaming and all the rest of it, and that's what they were aiming for, and that's no problem.
Yeah.
But I hadn't yet cottoned on to the fact. I was there going, Nintendo, you've betrayed me. This isn't what I remember. I'm a 30-year-old boy. I want to be having all the really great things that I... But actually, Nintendo hadn't betrayed me at all. I just got older. Nintendo was still doing the same thing that Nintendo have always done. They've been aiming at, you know, young teens. That's their bracket. That's their target audience. I've just got older. So after I realised that, and then realised that the Wii U was also a similarly placed gimmick, I just wasn't interested. And the same thing with the Switch. When the Switch first came out, we were seeing them at EGX and playing them, and I was looking at the games, and I was thinking, God, this is really expensive, and it's just going to be another gimmick, right?
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's really quite good. It's really, really entertaining, easy. Yes, they're charging a ton for peripherals, but this time they're charging a ton for the console as well. The peripherals are really straightforward and sensible. A bit annoying if you've got young kids, because they've got to slide those, I don't know what they call them, like the slidey, tabby, woggly jobbies.
Joy-Cons.
So the Joy-Cons, you slide them into dog face. So you've got like a plastic dog face, right, that you can slide two Joy-Cons into, and it becomes like a regular controller-ish. It's not. It's the worst ergonomic. It's almost as bad as the PlayStation controller, but it works fine.
Is it better than the Steam controller?
It's not. It's everything is better than the Steam controller. Everything in the world. Yes, Volcanic Eruptions are better than the Steam controller. So, then you can slide them off. So there's a little like kind of button on it. No, problem number one. There's a little kind of button, like a catch, that you're supposed to push on the back of the controller, and then that releases the controller so you can then slide it out, right? But you don't have to push that button. As my children have discovered, liberal application of brute force does the same job. So they've just been ripping them out because they didn't realise the button was there, even though I showed them like 25 times. Then the other problem is, once you've slid it out of that dog face thing, you then need to slide on a little kind of black bar right. that gives it the shoulder buttons, and has also got the like lanyard tether thing on it, so that they don't fling it across the room.
Yeah.
You can put that on backwards. You can put that on backwards. What, you can put it on backwards. What, who designed this thing? And if you put it on backwards, good God, it's impossible to take it off. And the worst thing is they put it on backwards and then try and take it off the way that you would have taken it off had you put it on the right way, and make it worse. So I spent about a one sweary hour on Christmas Day trying to get this thing off, thinking, right, that's it, it's fucked, it's already broken.
Yeah, Christmas Day.
Returning it to Santa, everything's gone, everything's bad forever. Returning the children, but got it off and just sternly reprimanded them, and it hasn't happened again since.
Are the black slidey bits, are they assigned to each Joy-Con?
The Joy-Cons are complete.
So you can chop and change
them? You can chop and change them, yeah. Yeah.
Right, so that's probably why. So they only had to make one piece.
Yes.
Rather than designing two separate bits.
Exactly that. That's exactly what it is. And the other thing is as well, like the Joy-Cons aren't tethered to the Joy-Cons, which it took me a little while to work this out. So I thought, you know, I got the Switch and it came with a red and a black controller, and then we bought an extra Joy-Con pair, which was like green and pink. So I'm like, right, the green and pink one go together, and the red and the blue one go together, and we need to make sure that they're charged at the same time because they're used together and all the rest of it. No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't make a blind bit of difference.
They're individual.
They're all individual. So when you go to play one that's using two Joy-Cons, like Zelda, for example, you turn the first one on, and it like flashes up and goes, yep, this is controller number one.
Yeah.
And then when you go to start the game, it asks you to push a button on whatever controller you're going to use as the second controller. So you push the button and it then pairs them together, and then they're both acting as controller number one.
Nice.
So it doesn't matter which one you use. It's very neat. The online is just as labyrinthy as it was with the previous iterations of Nintendo. I don't understand how
Nintendo are bad at online.
Their online is just I don't even look at it. I've stopped bothering. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense to me. The Nintendo eShop. No, the Nintendo eShop doesn't make any sense whatsoever. My kids were like, we want to download Fortnite. And about 20 minutes later, they were like, I'm not really that bothered. We'll be fine. We've got loads of games. So we got quite a few games with it. We got Overcooked 2, which they really enjoy, but unfortunately my youngest is a little bit too young and pretty much just flings food all over the place and makes the others hate her. So they're not playing that as much at the moment. But yeah, we've got Overcooked 2, Just Dance, which is hilarious. We got Mario Kart, Mario Party, and then my brother bought them Super Smash Brothers for Christmas as well. And I've also now got Zelda. So we've got a massive array of games to be playing, most of which are couch games that I'm trying to encourage them to play instead of playing Roblox and Minecraft and all the typical things that they'd be playing anyway. Smash is a huge success.
They could play on the laptop.
Yeah, exactly. Or tablet or whatever the heck they've got. Smash has been a huge success. And we took this thing to my parents' house as well, and we were playing Mario Kart and Smash and Mario Party and all the rest of it there. Smash is a great game.
Yeah.
One thing that I will say is if the urge ever takes you to go, oh yeah, my mate's got some Joy-Cons as well, so we can play 8-player Smash. You can play 8-player Smash. but everybody was getting so excited about the fact that you could that nobody stopped to think whether we should. and you shouldn't. You should not play.
A lot of chaos on the screen at once.
Nobody had any idea what was happening.
No.
Everybody was sat there pushing buttons. Nobody knew where the character was.
Yeah. I was playing. A good number for that.
I was playing for about 5 minutes and I was dead. I'd been dead the whole time. I didn't know. Had no idea. It's a little too chaotic. It's too far away from a traditional beat 'em up and too oversimplified and too crazy for me to get too excited about it. But the kids really enjoy it and they're loving it. Mario Kart's Mario Kart.
Yeah.
It's a good version of Mario Kart, but it's Mario Kart. Again, a little bit difficult to get excited about it. Overcooked 2 is Overcooked. And again, it's a good game, but it's a little bit difficult to get excited about it. Just Dance is really good fun. A lot of people like that. Everybody got involved in that. It's really good.
I absolutely love Just Dance.
Mm. Yeah.
When I had it for the Wii U and had loads of people like Sean and Neil and a load of other people over for a birthday one year. And we spent most of the night playing Just Dance.
Yeah.
to the point where Neil was like, oh yeah, we're going to leave now because his wife at the time, well, no, his wife, they're still together. His wife, just to quantify, his wife was like, oh yeah, we should probably make a move. And then he was like, oh, but we're just about to play, like, I think it was Prince Ali from the Aladdin soundtrack. And she was like, all right, maybe stay for one more. Yeah. Like, three hours later, that we were doing Jaeger bombs in my kitchen and dancing to Just Dance.
Nice. So everybody really enjoyed that. It's a good game. It's a great game. It's very, very simple, very straightforward. But everybody got involved in it. Everybody enjoyed it. Living room wasn't really necessarily large enough. So there was a couple of injuries, but it was all in good fun. Yeah. So we got that. Anyway, all of this. I haven't got Mario Odyssey, before anybody says anything about that. I haven't got it. I've heard it's really good. I haven't got it at the moment. I didn't want to get too many single-player games because I didn't want my kids just sat in front of their hogging the screen and not letting anybody else play.
Yeah.
So then I got Zelda. So... Mm. Right, I've gone through all of this, and I'm going to try and get away from the Switch in a minute. However, great piece of kit, really enjoyable, straightforward and easy to use. Yes, it's on the pricey side, but in my opinion, it's completely worth it for titles that you simply cannot get on any other console. It's not like you feel like you're spending money on something and going, but I've already got a PlayStation, or I've already got a PC, and I know that this game is likely to come out on a PC at some point. Mario Kart will never come out on anything other than Nintendo. Yeah?
You can play Mario Kart 8, you can play Smash Brothers, and you can play Breath of the Wild all on the Wii U.
On the Wii U? Right, okay.
They all had Wii U releases.
Right, I see. But, I mean, outside of the Nintendo ecosystem.
And Just Dance.
Yeah. Well, right, well, there you go. Right, so Lewis has just shit all over my entire conceit there. Thank you for that. But outside of the Nintendo ecosystem, you cannot get any of these games. You can't get Mario Kart. You can't
These aren't cross-platform anything, are they?
No. And on top of that, there's tons of... Previously, Nintendo took a fairly hard stance on 18-certificate games on their consoles. In fact, for the Wii, I believe, they didn't want anybody doing it at all for a really long time. It took a lot of developers a long time to actually get them to agree to certify 18-certificate games on the consoles.
I think there was one or two on the whole life cycle of it.
On the Switch, fucking everywhere. They're all over the place. So I'm kind of excited about that. It's quite nice. It does not have the power of other consoles. Obviously, it's roughly the size of my hand. But but it has the potential there, and there's some good games coming out on it. How they haven't gone into some kind of contract with Blizzard to put World of Warcraft on this thing is beyond me. Because this thing would be World of Warcraft heaven for anybody who's still into that game.
Isn't Diablo by...
Diablo is on it, yeah. And that's Activision.
Yeah, but isn't that Blizzard?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I believe it's Activision Blizzard, so you would have thought so.
There's a link there.
There's a whole Diablo kind of console box bundle that you can buy, isn't there?
Yeah. So, the last thing I'm going to say...
Also, but that's another game that you can play on another...
Yes, it is. All right.
As well as Doom and...
Yeah. All right, no, but I was talking specifically... Oh, my God, will you stop? Right, so look, as Lewis has pointed out, I'm not entirely accurate in everything that I'm saying, but So, Zelda. Let's just quickly... I'm going to go to Zelda before I get off the Switch entirely. I've missed a Zelda game. I might have actually missed two. I played Wind Waker, then I played Twilight Princess, and then I haven't played anything Zelda-ish, so I think I've missed at least one. Yeah. And now I've got Breath of the Wild. Good fucking grief. There will be people out there that say, no, Ocarina of Time is still the best. No, it's fucking not. No, it's not. And do you know what? Before this came out, it wasn't fucking best then either. Wind Waker was the best Zelda game. Wind Waker was the best Legend of Zelda game until this game came out. Unless the one that I didn't play was really, really good. But I don't think it was.
Which one was that?
I don't know. I didn't play it.
Skyward Sword? That was a Wii title.
That might have been it. I don't know.
Probably. I mean, to be fair, there are shitloads of Zelda games.
Yeah, they're all over the shop. Wind Waker was an amazing game. I absolutely loved Wind Waker. Had some tedium in it. Was a little bit annoying in a few places. Every single Zelda game is. This game, Breath of the Wild, is fucking huge. It is absolutely mind-bogglingly, arse-twitchingly, unfathomably enormous. Maybe the previous Zelda game that I didn't play was equally as large, but this thing's huge. And not only is it huge, it's not flat. So it's really varied terrain. Some of it you can't cross because you need to be able to climb, you don't have enough stamina, or you need a particular piece of equipment to get over it, whatever it happens to be. But on top of that, the fuckers have made it so that you need, like, insulation. So there are certain areas in the game that are so cold that you literally die if you go into them without the either the proper equipment or having cooked a specialist piece of food that allows you to not die. And then there's the other end of the spectrum, which is the hot areas. There are some mildly hot areas to put you into a slight sweat. There is one area where you literally set on fire when you walk into it. You just set on fire. Nobody told me this. The game gives you nothing. It doesn't hold your hand. It doesn't explain anything to you at all. It just goes, there you go, you're fucked. Have
That's
it.
What I've always enjoyed about Zelda games. They just put you in it and then get off you go.
This is amazing. I'm loving it. There are caveats. It's fucking frustrating in places. It is horrendously frustrating in places. I've been playing it with my kids. And Emily, my eldest, she's 9. She's been playing it a fair bit with me. She has to pass the control over to me quite a lot. A, because it's too difficult for her. And B, because I'm getting really fucking frustrated because she keeps dying. But it's a hard game. It does not pull its punches. Yeah. There are certain tricks and tips that you can use to make it easier, but in the main, it is just a hard-ass game. And there's puzzles in there that are just... You wouldn't work out. You would not work out these puzzles. I don't understand how people have thought this through. There was one puzzle where you had to make a circuit on the floor, and basically there's electricity going in, and you've got metal objects that you've got to move around to bridge the little gaps in this circuit to open a door. There weren't enough metal objects. Needed 4, there were only 2. So I'm there going, what the fuck? This is stupid. This game is stupid. Everything's stupid about it. I hate Nintendo. I hate the game. Must have been there for about 45 minutes trying to work this out until Emily walked into the room and went, can you not just drop your sword on it? I was like, no. No. Bloody took my sword off my back and dropped it on the floor. Used my magnetism ability to move it around. Bloody worked. Conducted the electricity and worked.
Go to your room.
How dare you be better than me? And then there was the obligatory, and there might be another one. I think I'm roughly halfway through the game at the minute. I've done 2 of what they call the Divine Beasts, and I've done a lot of side stuff. And there's 4 Divine Beasts altogether, and then you've got to do some Ganon stabbing and all kinds of other stuff. The story is very, very convoluted and definitely Eastern. But you accrue things slowly as you go, and you do feel yourself getting more and more powerful. Unlike Zelda games that I played previously, every single weapon that you pick up explodes. It breaks. Every single weapon breaks. Every single weapon will break. The best sword that you've got in the world will break at some point. Apparently, there's like 2 weapons in the game that don't. I haven't found them. I don't know where they are. So I'm a lot of the time running around with a stick. I've found the obligatory, if you are seen by anybody, the game is over forever level, which is the whole, you've got to get to the end of this level, but if anybody sees you, That's it. Just bend over and kiss your ass goodbye. That's it. You're dead. And unlike in Solid Snake games, unlike in Metal Gear, instead of it just going, oh, you've been seen, it's game over, like 50 guys just appear. They just appear in the room and then multi-stab you until there's nothing of you left. And I'm there going, why weren't they here all along?
Yeah.
Where were they? If the whole room was full of these people, then they would have seen me a lot easier. And that took me a really long time to get through, because I'm not very good at stealth.
No, for
many
point.
Reasons. It's not my strongest point. And then you, really annoyingly, you get all the way to the end of that level, and you fight this weak-ass boss who was in charge of all those people, and he's really easy to kill, and you keep thinking, just call your mates, because there's fucking loads of them. They can kick my ass really easily. But yeah, so silly, frustrating things, but on the whole, this is the best Zelda game I've ever played. Apart from a couple of problems, I was ready to give it my favourite game of 2018, but I'm going to hold off that for now, partially because I didn't play much of it in 2018, but partially because there have since been some things that have fucking pissed me off. So I'm going to come back and report when I've completely finished it and see how I feel about it then. It might have changed, or I might not finish it. I do that in games.
Also, it came out in 2017.
Are you just gonna pedant all over me tonight, Lewis?
He's Mr. Pedant tonight. Get your Red Dead facts ready.
Right? I mean, my favourite game that I got in 2018.
If you want to get your chips out, I will happily piss on them.
Professional chip pisser.
No, I don't need it. I don't need it. Right, look, it's a really good game. The Switch is a really impressive piece of kit. I am really enjoying it. My kids are really enjoying it. It's very portable. The battery life is way more impressive than I thought it was going to be. It is a little bit more malleable than I would have liked. Definitely get a screen protector if you're going to get one of these things, because the screens do scratch, and they do scratch easily.
I have heard that just by docking it and undocking it, it scratches the screen up.
I heard that as well, which is why I've got screen protector on mine. I've got tempered glass screen protector on the thing.
It's a silly question, but what's the actual storage used for? Because you don't install games, do you?
You have to download games, because you can buy games off the eShop.
Yeah.
Also, the saves can take up quite a lot of space. So Zelda, for example, saves with impunity. The saves all over the place. I think I must have about 100 Zelda saves knocking about at the minute.
Because we're shopping for one, I'm looking for like 32 gig, 64 gig, and I'm looking at my Xbox there in the corner with like a terabyte's worth of fucking five games installed on it.
Yeah. Well, it's stuff like it saves and updates, because updates are installed to the console rather than the cartridge, I believe.
Yeah.
But then downloads. If you download any games from the eShop, they're obviously going to be going onto the storage, yeah. So I've got an SD card in mine.
Okay. I was going to say, it's got expandable storage as well, so you can put an SD card in it.
Yeah, I bought an SD card slot with it and a charging dock, because that's the other thing that they don't tell you. The only way to charge it is either... Well, the only way to charge it when you get it is to plug it into the Switch.
Right.
You basically have to plug the controllers into the Switch to charge the controllers. So if you've got more than two controllers, you've got to plug two into the Switch, let them charge while the Switch is docked, and then unplug them and then plug the other two on. So I've bought a charging dock, so you can dock them in and they'll charge and all the rest of it while you're just leaving it. Right, anyway, look, I need to get away from the Switch, because I spoke about that loads and loads and loads, but I will go back to it, because I'm going to be playing hopefully quite a few games on it, and we're going to get Nintendo-y. We're going to have to bring back Ross's Nintendo news. Can I be the weather girl?
Yeah, of course you can.
Thank you. Right, look.
Just as a quick side note, so a guy at work of mine got one over Christmas, and he's bought so it's basically a dockless dock.
A dockless dock.
So it's got a connector. It's just a cable that you plug into the bottom of your Switch. And then you can plug it straight into the TV, rather than having to carry the whole dock around with you. You can just chuck it in a case and
that's pretty neat.
Away you go. You
can
plug it into a TV.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think it's just like USB-C on the bottom of it. So if you've got a USB-C to HDMI adapter, or similar, I presume you
can
just plug the thing.
That's basically what
it is. You can. So it won't charge the Switch, but...
I was going to say, you can buy them with RJ45 adapters on them as well.
Right,
so it's got HDMI and network port, so you're not then having to work off Wi-Fi.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm not paying for the online either, because you've got to pay a subscription now with Nintendo, similar to Xbox Live Gold, so that if you want to play games online, you've got to have that. We don't have that. I'm not bothered about it. It doesn't interest me in the slightest.
You're not missing anything, unless you want to play Tetris for the 9 minutes time.
I can't imagine... Yeah, well... I can't imagine I can't imagine ever wanting to play Mario Kart with people. Like with other people that I don't know. I don't see why I'd do that. It's not a competitive enough game. Diablo, I get it. Yeah, all right, if you want to play Diablo.
There are enough people in your house that you can play Mario Kart.
Yeah, exactly. But then there are certain games, like Fortnite, for example, that you don't have to have it for. So you don't have to own that that pass thing to be able to play Fortnite online, because they've negotiated with them. So
what
anyway,
about Rocket League?
I don't know. Not a clue. I'm going to have to work it out. To be honest, I own Rocket League anyway, and I play it on PC. Maybe the kids would have a good time in it, but I don't think you could be able to play Rocket League with half of a Joy-Con. There's too many controls.
No. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I will find out.
It's all experimentation.
I will investigate. Actually, there's got to be a lot of that when you buy a Nintendo console, because it really doesn't tell you very much about itself. You just kind of plug it in. It's just like, right, what are you doing? I'm not really sure how to do anything. It's just like, it's not my problem. Work it out. Right then, we need to move on. I've spoken far
Let's
too
move,
much.
Move the fuck on, because we've been talking about this for
fucking ages. We can
what
cut most of
like
it out.
A whole year.
What feels like 2018. Right, look, you guys have got massive games to talk about. Now, we spoke about, I think, both of these in the long lost episode 85, which is now being supplanted by this episode 85. Which one do you guys want to talk about first?
Fallout.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So is it worth pointing out that, back when we spoke about this originally, Fallout 76 was enduring a hammering In fact, I'm not actually sure that hammering is the right word.
That could be any time during its lifetime.
Yeah, utter devastating fuck up.
Shocking.
Yeah, it was just all bad.
I think it was the bags, wasn't it, when we talked about it last time?
Conveniently, this week or last week, there is now another bug or glitch that people have discovered, where apparently there is a room in the game, which is like a dev room, which they have put every single object that you can get in the game is in this room, and it was designed so that the developers can go in, handle everything, pick it up, touch it, mess around with it, make sure that objects don't have conflicts with each other and all the rest of it. But they left it in the game, and people have worked out how to get into it. But because it's an online game in which you're fighting against other people, basically people can now get anything they want by just glitching into this room and getting out absolutely anything they want. So that's the latest thing to hit it. Have you guys just started playing this?
Yeah,
pretty much. Yeah, I've played a couple of hours.
Right, I'm going to sit back.
Played a couple of hours.
I'm going to sit back here with a beer and see how this unfolds.
First of all, it is buggy as fuck. I mean, it's a Bethesda game, that should go without saying, but this feels like multiplied by a million compared to what it's normally like, isn't it, Lewis?
Yeah, absolutely. It is buggier than probably every other Fallout game combined.
Yeah.
Wow.
I got stuck in walls and doors and all sorts of stuff on the last Fallout game, but this one, you just get stuck on nothing, seemingly, sometimes.
Yeah. So, I loaded the game up yesterday or the day before.
Yeah.
Went to look at my Pip-Boy, and it hadn't loaded the texture or any of the artwork for the Pip-Boy or any of my outfit. So I was just a floating head and hands.
When we were playing together, at one point we were running around the wasteland, and your guy had a vault suit on, 76 vault suit. We went into a door. You came through that door. I don't know if you know this. You came through that door completely bollock naked, apart from your pants.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Magical door. That was the strip door. Did you not know? I'm just going to write very quickly before we carry on. Lewis, right at the beginning of this, you said, oh, I've just switched my microphone. Does that sound any better? Is it set to the right one in Audacity?
Yes.
Great. We also didn't do a clap.
That's so fine.
Three, that's two, fine. One.
I saw it.
Sorry.
We're all good.
Sorry to interrupt you. Carry on.
It's all staying in.
Right.
Where were we?
You went through a door. You came out naked.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's pretty much my usual getting home routine. Like I said to you guys, it feels like a Fallout game, but it definitely doesn't feel like a Fallout game.
It's so weird, isn't it?
The thing is, does it feel like a Fallout game because the atmosphere and everything feels like Fallout and all the rest of it? Or does it feel like a Fallout game because it's written in the same shitty, buggy, piece of crap game engine that they've been using for fucking years, and you're almost empathising with the game rather than playing it? So it feels like Fallout because it's so goddamn buggy.
Yeah, I think it feels like Fallout because you're still looking at it like it's Fallout 3. It looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
Same fucking game engine, might as well be.
Yeah, I think that might be it. I don't know. Like, it's weird. Because it's... So, there are no NPC characters.
No.
There are vendors that you have small little dialogue options with.
Which are all robots.
Does it explain why that is?
No.
Right.
not yet, anyway. There are other vendors, so like I bumped into a super mutant vendor.
Oh, right, okay.
But yeah, the rest of them are robots. And they've introduced a load of new creatures that then don't appear later on in other games. Because, like, let's not forget, this is set before the other... So this is set before Fallout 3 and the rest of the game.
Right.
So this is essentially a prequel. But, like, there are loads of creatures that don't appear in the later
subsequent games. Right.
Yeah. And like the lack of NPCs, just even though they were really badly designed and the dialogue options were really stunted and janky, like that was part of Fallout 3 New Vegas and 4's charm.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I don't know, all the quests are done via holotapes and notes and
the robot's voice.
Corpses. Yeah.
Do they all have the same voice?
Yeah.
Right, so they've done this so that they don't have to get voice actors, right? So they've got one person to do all of the voice talent for all of the robots because it's the same voice, and then all of the other quest delivery can be done over text, so they don't have to revoice things.
No, so all the audio or the holotapes are audio-based.
Right, you have to load them.
So you have to load them into your Pip-Boy to be able to listen to them, and then usually I find that something tries to nibble on my butt. So I'm like, shit, what are you doing? Get away. I'm trying to listen to this tape, you bastard. Just give me 2 seconds, and then I'll come and decapitate you.
So what about other people? How much interaction have you had with other people in the game?
Other than Ross, none.
None? Is that because you've chosen to play it solo, or is that because you just haven't seen anybody?
Just because I haven't seen anyone.
I've seen two other humans.
And did, what happened?
One was a level 51 and they killed me immediately, and the other was a level 4 and couldn't kill me because PvP only opens up past level 5.
See, yeah. I heard that you have to get consent from people to PvP them, or can they just turn up and kill you?
No, they can just turn up and kill you.
Yeah.
You can switch on pacifist mode, which means that you can't kill people, but other people can kill you.
What?
Great.
Where's the benefit to that?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, do you drop stuff when people kill you?
Yep.
Yeah. You pick up all shit like you could do in other Fallout games. Like,
all your stuff?
What you carry in is the viewable to everyone else and you can just take it. But yeah, I found a level 51, fully powered, armored up. I thought, I'm on a mission. I'm hiding up this like tower thing, collecting these bits of paper, these paper targets. And then I just get shot once with like a laser rifle from about 50 yards away, and that's it, dead. So, cool. Just turn the game off.
So if you die, is this like Rust? If you die, literally everything that you had on your person is gone, unless you can get back to it.
Well, I don't know. Like, I've not been able to work that out. I mean, I got killed by a level 45 character earlier today, and I just switched the console off because
annoying.
I started playing Lego instead.
The problem, this was always going to be the worry. This was always going to be the problem, because with games like Rust or DayZ or Ark or any of these kind of online survival games, basically there is an element of people, and you run the risk that after a period of time, these are the only people that are left playing the game that only derive enjoyment from ruining other people's enjoyment. So the only thing that they are there to do is to kill other people. They're not there to do the quests. They're not there to play with people or co-op. They're not there to enjoy the vast scope and interesting entertainment that's available in the game. They just want to ruin your day. And a lot of these people don't even want to talk to you about it. They just want to kill you, and then they chuckle to themselves about it for 5 minutes and then fuck off and do it to somebody else.
Do you know what? I don't know if... At the moment, I don't know if there is that kind of element to it in the game.
Because
there's no one there. Like, the maximum number of people I've seen in a map, just because you can see where everyone is on a map, on the map, is maybe 10.
Maybe 10. I haven't seen more than that, definitely. Yeah.
Wait, go back a second. You can see where everybody is on the map.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Little arrows, I think, aren't they? Little gold arrows.
What? Yeah.
Show us where they're facing, all sorts.
Yeah, and you can see what level they are, their player name.
So not only are they allowing level 50 people to kill level 10 people, but they're actively enabling them to do
it. Look, here they are. Here's the noobs. Go fuck them.
Because not even Rust or Ark or DayZ or any of the other games in which you will get these dickheads following you around or trying to kill you, none of those games do that. None of those games will tell you.
No.
Because... If they want to be a dick, they've got to put time and effort into it.
Yeah,
they
might
spend entire hours upon hours upon hours never finding anybody. And the hope is that eventually they'll go, this isn't worth my time. Yeah, and so I'm going to stop doing it. But if it's actively beaconing to them exactly where the fuck you are, then they're just enabling the dickheads.
So it doesn't show up on the heads-up display. It only shows on the world map.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're within a certain range. But, it's... I don't know, part of me wants to go, do you know what, this game's shit, and I shouldn't have paid 20 quid for it. But the other part of me wants to carry on and wants to carry on playing it.
Yeah, I'm in exactly the same position.
Is it crossplay?
No.
No. See, if it was crossplay, I'd buy this. And I'd buy it just to come in and play with you guys and see what it was all about.
Yeah.
But what they've done here is they've designed a game in the Fallout universe to be the first hallmark online multiplayer version of the game. It is not a Twitch shooter. It's not Call of Duty. It's not really going to be a situation where people with mouse and keyboard have got a huge benefit up over people with pads. Yeah, no, there will be that. There will be that, but not as much. And then they didn't make it crossplay. Why would you do that?
Do you know what? They should have gone down the Elder Scrolls Online route with big hub cities. Because, let's be honest, there are going to be those in post-apocalyptic scenarios where people are going to set up hub cities. And there are going to be NPC players or NPC characters. So, but I don't know... I just don't understand.
So the base building, presumably there's base building in it, right?
Yep.
Right, so you can have your own base.
So you get a briefcase.
Yep.
With, it's called...
It's your camp, isn't it?
It's called camp, which is... I can't remember what the word is.
Is this similar to the GEC?
Yeah, basically. So you can set up a camp, you can... transfer all of your junk and stash, and you put it all in your stash box, but you're the only one that can see your stuff in that box.
Okay.
So if you come across another box in the wasteland,
you can't see anything.
Like an ender chest in Minecraft.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. It's your stuff, not anyone else's.
Mm. Yep. And can people attack your town, your camp? Right, okay, so you've got to put defences up and everything. But if they can't get your stuff, where's the benefit to them attacking your camp?
Exactly.
Okay, right. I feel like possibly they should have workshopped these issues before they made the game. Well, do you know what I mean? I feel like there should have been a flowchart or something.
Yeah, the reason Fallout games used to come out 4 years apart... And they'd still be buggy, but the games were good. This one got almost rushed out to a certain degree. And
look, here's a question. And I don't know if you're going to be in any better position to answer this than I am, but why did they make this game?
I don't know.
What was the goal? What was the goal? What niche did they think they were trying to fill?
I don't know what... I don't even know who the target audience is for this.
No.
Because it's not online survival fan...
No, I mean, because proper online survival, proper survival, not horror, but survival games, you're talking, again, Rust, DayZ, Ark, these kind of games where you are managing your food, you're managing your water, there is a genuine survival element, even if there's nobody else around, you could starve to death and stuff like that.
Okay, so there is that element to the game.
Yep.
So you have got to manage...
food and water.
You've got to manage food and water, which then affects your stamina.
Yeah.
So if you're dehydrated, your stamina goes down a lot more quickly. VATS is in it, but I don't know about you, Ross. I haven't used it.
It seems incredibly tacked on.
Yeah, they've kind of gone, well, you know, we need to include VATS, but it's just pointless.
Yes, because it doesn't freeze the game to allow you to shoot people, because obviously it can't. So yeah, it's just like, game. It brings
up
the target
thing. Would
have
thought it would at least come up with some artificial slowdown or something.
Yeah, so...
It makes combat harder.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It genuinely does, because...
Very awkward targeting system.
Well, yeah, my automatic reaction when playing Fallout is to bring up VATS to engage in combat. If it makes it harder, then what the... I automatically press it and I think, oh,
fuck, this is harder. The interesting thing, because in Fallout 3, when they first put VATS in... I mean, VATS was a thing anyway, but in Fallout 1 and 2, but when they kind of... engineered it to work in a first-person shooter environment. They put it in, and largely the reason that they did it was because their engine and the way that they designed the game as a first-person shooter was so fucking shonky that if something actually ran at you with any speed whatsoever, you'd fill the entire air around it with bullets and never hit the thing in the first place. So they put VATS in as a solution to that. But now you've got the same game engine online. So they're introducing lag to the enemies that are now running at you all over the map and you can't hit. They've got shonky as fuck hitboxes because they're not connected to the actual character models. And VATS doesn't work. So how is it attack? Is there a problem shooting things? Because when ghouls and stuff were running at me before, if I didn't turn VATS on, there was no way I was going to fucking hit them.
I just started using melee weapons and leveling up my strength and endurance.
I just use a shotgun and spray and pray.
Yeah. That's what I'm moving on to now.
If you've got a game, which, let's face it, barely works in single player, if you've got a game engine that can only just handle one person, right? What makes you go, right, here's what we're going to do, boys. We've got this netcode, right? And we're going to take this game that is troubling at the best of times when there's only one person in it, and we're going to put a bunch of people in it. And then to make sure that there's enough action, because we haven't put any NPCs or anything in, we're going to let them all know where they all are. Like some weird, twisted version of the Hunger Games.
The thing is, I just don't understand why they've deviated so much from Elder Scrolls Online.
Yeah.
Well, which Elder Scrolls Online is shit. That's an important distinction to make.
But it's a better variety of shit.
Because it's an MMO. They weren't aiming for MMO here, were they? They were aiming for survival game. My confusion is, why? Nobody wanted this. Nobody asked for it. People were asking for an Elder Scrolls MMO. Yeah? Now, they might not have done it if they didn't know what they were going to get, but they were asking for an Elder Scrolls MMO. Nobody asked for this game. What we wanted was Fallout multiplayer or Skyrim multiplayer. Yeah. We wanted the single-player, story-driven experience.
Or a co-op story.
Co-op. Yeah? Well, the one thing that nobody asked for is, I also want 20 other people to be available to shoot me.
But it's not just shooting. You can also get launch codes for nuclear missile silos.
Right.
You can fuck everyone else up.
So what? You can just drop nukes on people.
Excellent. So, look, I'm going to ask both of you this individually. Ross.
Yeah.
If they were going to willingly fuck this game up more, right? What could they do? Is there anything that they could do to make this game worse?
Yeah, loot boxes.
Okay, thank you very much. That's a good answer. Lewis, same question.
Do you know what? I don't know if they can.
I don't think they obviously can. No. I'm at the point now where I want Fallout to just go away. Go away. Rethink what you've done. Come back when you're ready to apologise and give me a better single-player game.
Do you know the only saving grace? And I don't know why I'm saying it, because I kind of like the game. I've never been so conflicted over a game. But the only saving grace that I can think of for it is it makes Fallout 4 look reasonably good.
Yeah. It doesn't seem as bad in comparison.
Fallout 4 was...
It makes me want to go back and play Fallout 4.
Fallout 4 was so beige. They needed something to shake up the Fallout world. They did need something. They needed to do something. Because Fallout 4, for me, was far too beige. It was still a good game, by all accounts, and it had a really nice story and all the rest of it. Beige might not be the right word. Sepia. The entire thing was brown. It's like they'd made a game and then shit all over it, literally. And it was still okay, but it wasn't the leap that I wanted from 3, and it was not a patch, in my opinion, on New Vegas.
They should have stopped in New Vegas.
They're never going to stop, not while it's making money. Let's face it, they're never going to stop.
The worst part about it is there are single... So there's Fallout Lone Star, which was a Texas kind of southern states cowboy-esque.
Yeah.
But it was all player-created.
Right, okay.
So they made a load of... They made all new storylines. They made it originally in the Fallout 3 engine. And then when Fallout 4 came out, because they hadn't actually finished it, they started remaking it in Fallout 4.
Right.
There's another Fallout... It's like... I can't remember what it's called now, but there is another Fallout 4 game, which basically...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Expands the entire game and it sets it in a whole new region. I think it's in like somewhere obscure like Nebraska or... they both look incredible.
But they're not made by Bethesda.
And they're both better than Fallout 76.
Yeah. And here's the weird thing as well. So, forgive me for dragging this on a little bit too long, but Fallout 1, you were the Vault Dweller. And I know a lot of people now may have played this game. I loved Fallout 1. I played Fallout 1 when it originally came out, and it was amazing. Maybe not dead on originally when it came out, maybe a couple of years later, but... I genuinely had never played anything like it before. It was an incredible game. Fallout 2 came out. Now, a lot of people say that 1 was better than 2. I preferred 2. I thought it was incredible. The humour was ramped up. The dark comedy was just massive. Now, the first game, you were the Vault Dweller. You were the Vault Dweller. From Vault 13, their water chip had malfunctioned. They were going to run out of drinkable water. They didn't want to leave the vault because they were so afraid of what the nuclear fallout had done to the world, so off they sent you. You got that water chip in... Well, you could get the water chip in virtually no time at all. Right. Then you go back, and they go, oh, no, mate, thanks for that chip and everything, right, but you've been out there, and we don't want you in here anymore. Fuck off. So you get kicked out, and there's this texture and there's this story. Fallout 2, you are a descendant. You are living in a tribe that is descended from that vault dweller. So this is now 100 and something years later. So you are the tribesman. So you've gone from being the vault dweller to the tribesman. You go to Fallout 3. Fucking couldn't tell you who was in Fallout 3. Don't know who he was. Well, no idea who he was. Now, New Vegas.
Carry on. So it's the Lone Wanderer in 4. It's the Courier in
Vegas.
Vegas.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think... Oh, I can't remember.
No, exactly. This is the thing. And they seem to just... They just went away. They lost what was going on. And now they just seem to have lost it more. In Fallout 4, I didn't know who I was, really. I knew that my kid had gone and that I'd been in a pod and I didn't really understand why, what was happening. And I'm just going to build this town out of metal. Don't know why I'm doing it. It was just all a bit... It was a departure from what I wanted the game to be. But that's okay, because the game wasn't just made for me. And now they've gone 76, now and I'm like...
I'm on the flip side of that, because I played Fallout 3 first, and then went back to try and play 1 and 2.
Oh yeah, I can't imagine it works that way around.
Yeah, I just couldn't do it.
They were very much of their time.
I really, really wanted to enjoy them, and I just couldn't.
No, and we were more than willing to accept turn-based games. Turn-based adventure games back then as well. And it was fine. It was a normal. It was just what it was. And I loved it. I thought it was absolutely incredible. But yeah, after playing the new ones, going back, very difficult. Retro games are not as retro and trendy as people like to think they are. They're just old.
No.
They're just old.
But, so I recently tried to play Wasteland 2, which is made by Interplay, which were the guys that made the original Fallout 1 and 2 and Brotherhood of Steel. And yeah, that's just as awful.
Yeah, it worked when it was back then, and it doesn't really work now. Now there is another game coming out that is being made by the guys that made up Black Isle. And I can't for the life of me remember what its name is, but it's being posted all over the place at the moment with big digs at Bethesda. And actually, trailer for the game, they're actually taking digs at Bethesda as well.
Yes. God, I can't remember what it's called. But it's like Worlds of Tomorrow or something.
It's something similar, like similar to that, yeah.
It kind of looks like Bioshock meets Fallout.
It does, and it looks really, really good. This is made by the guys, and I'm probably wrong here, so somebody might correct me, but I'm pretty confident that this is made by the guys that originally... I can't remember if it was Interplay, but I'm pretty sure it was Black Isle.
Yeah.
Who I don't think made the first Fallout, but certainly made the second one. So they're kind of... They're going, right, look, they fucked it up. This is our window. they've made a mistake quickly, and they're jumping in to try and fill that space.
I really, really hope that this is going to be the next Fallout game that I actually want.
The not Fallout game?
Yeah. The Fallout game that I've been looking forward to.
The spiritual successor.
I've got hopes for Cyberpunk.
Just haven't been able to... Because they were working with Obsidian and ZeniMax, and they've just not done... Since they parted company with them, they've just gone completely off the rails.
I feel like Bethesda have gone a bit wrong. I feel like they've taken a left turn somewhere. And it's led them down a road, and they're carrying on because that's where they've gone. But I don't really think that they seem to have any direction or purpose anymore, which is a shame.
It almost feels now like they're doing it out of stubbornness because they got the Fallout franchise from Interplay, and they're like, well, we just need to make another Fallout game now just to spite those dicks.
Just keep churning them out. Right, look.
Yeah.
We can rail on it for ages and ages and ages. The problem is that everybody's so exasperated with Fallout 76 now that every time it gets brought up, people just go...
Yeah, more.
It's become the big ticket game that is just a shame.
It's almost like the Donald Trump of games. It's like... Oh shit, what's it done now?
Well, because some people really like it, but other people realise that it's thoroughly broken and has no values.
Yeah.
Right, okay, very similar. Look, I think I'm going to play it. I'd be more inclined to play it if it was crossplay. If it was crossplay, I'd buy it right now so that we could all play it together. And so we can at least give it a crack, but I don't want to play it on my own.
I think you can have fun just pissing around in the world with your friends.
Yeah, but I can do that on a different game.
Like me and Lewis try to take on an entire... prison full of super mutants and got thoroughly fucked up over and over again.
Yeah.
If there was more of us, it would have been more fun.
The best thing I managed was setting myself on fire.
You do that in the surprising amount of the games that we play together.
But I think,
I think I did that quite a lot in The Division, actually, as well.
We need to move on. Yeah. Has anybody got any closing comments for Fallout 76? Are you going to go back and play it again?
It's just a bit boring and a bit... Over much of a shame.
It's like that ex that you know is not good for you, but you kind of can't help yourself because they're just really fit.
And the thing was, it's not really fit though, is it? It looks like Fallout 3. The thing.
Yeah, alright, it's really fit from far away.
When you've had a couple. The thing here is, you guys knew. Before you started playing, you guys knew. So imagine the people that didn't. Imagine the people that were genuinely excited and pre-ordered this and bought the edition of the game that came with the Tesco's bag. Imagine how they felt.
Yeah.
Because you're going into it and every time you fire it up, your whelm is definitely under. And you're still going back and playing it.
I know, and I don't know why. Every time, because it's just kind of on my Xbox One dashboard, and I'm like, might as well.
Right, look, the last thing that I'm going to say about this, and it isn't even really necessarily related to this. So you're playing this, Lewis, on an Xbox One S, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Ross, you're playing this on
An Xbox One X.
Yeah. Now, did you ever fire this up on your S, or is that gone now?
It came with the X, yeah, so I've never...
Right, okay, so you've never fired it up. So is there any difference in this game?
Oh, so you didn't even actually pay money for this then, Ross?
No, it came with it.
Right, they're just giving it away.
Giving it away.
So this, is there any difference on the One X?
It doesn't look like it. I'll be honest, from everything that I've seen, it looks like Fallout 4 still. It doesn't look like it's been upsbuffed for Xbox One Enhanced.
I don't think that they upsbuffed Fallout 4 anyway, because they downsbuffed it a lot for the consoles, and I don't think that there's any difference. I might be wrong, but I don't think there's any difference in the console version between 1X and 1S.
No, I don't think so.
No.
They should feel bad. God, if I was Bethesda, I'd feel really bad.
Yeah, but then if they felt bad, they would then just give out another 500 atoms.
Oh my God, yeah, that was terrible. I love that was that. For all the people that bought the super special edition of the game, for which you had to like send your mum's left finger or something, they were told that they were going to get this gorgeous Hessian bag, which presumably was going to give everybody blowjobs from the way that everybody was talking about it. And instead, they ended up with this weird neoprene Tesco's bag, and everybody really lost their bollocks. Now, I would, if I was spending 150 quid or something on a special edition version of the game, I want to make sure that I got everything that I was told I was going to get, especially if I'd seen a photograph of it. And then they go, sorry, here's however many atoms it was, which is the in-game currency, which...
500.
500 which atoms. Isn't even enough,
and you can earn atoms in game,
and it's not even enough to buy a bag in game. I can't catch my breath. There are games that have done this before. We've got to get off this. I've got to stop doing this. Yeah. There are games that have done this before. There are games that have fucked up badly before. The one that springs to mind is Final Fantasy XIV. Final Fantasy XIV's launch was horrific. It was terrible. It was bad. The company basically. They got fucked very early on because the populace was against them. They made such a massive hash of it. And then they fixed it. They basically sent the game back into beta and said, sorry, we fucked up. Yeah. We're literally sending the game back into beta. You're willing to refund if you want to, so go ahead and refund. And they took the game back into beta. They completely reworked it and then re-released the game a year and later, going, there we go, sorry, we fixed it now. And then if you were an original purchaser and you still had the game, you got a load of extra stuff and you got some special edition content and all kinds of stuff like that. And now it's one of the most popular MMOs in the world.
Do you know what? That's absolutely what they need to do with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I think that kind of hits the nail on the head. This still feels like a beta.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
A very early.
And I think half the problem is the way that they're reacting to this. I think that the issue isn't necessarily that the game is bad, and obviously that is an issue, but the issue, you're not necessarily judged on your successes, you're judged on how you handle your failures, right? So something goes wrong, you're going to be tried in the court of public opinion for how you handle that failure. And they have not handled this well. They have not availed themselves with the general populace very well at all.
But as we've already said, like, look at 3, New Vegas of 4. They were broken, they were buggy, but they were still great games I thought they were great games because they... Well, except 4. Because they... They had a good story. They had good voice acting.
Could forgive for the failures because the parts of the game that were failing weren't the whole game. And there was all this other stuff going on. But they've stripped all of that stuff out and left you with the broken stuff.
I'm kind of hoping that they release a game next with all the stuff that they stripped out.
I'm not sure what they're going to do. I've got to be perfectly honest. And the other thing, they've not released a roadmap. They've not told anybody what they're going to do next. They haven't said this is how we're going to fix it. They're just very much playing it by ear. Everybody's in the dark, and they've almost gone, yep, this is a game.
Yeah.
This is what we meant to release all along. We're not changing it. Done.
This is what you've got.
But then they did that with Fallout 4. Like, if this is going to be the trend, I think I'm pretty much done with Bethesda.
I think you're echoing what a lot of people are saying. And actually, what it's done is made people retrospectively look back at the other games and go to themselves, actually... How happy was I with them before? Realistically.
Well, no, do you know what? I it doesn't detract from 3. It doesn't detract from New Vegas. It doesn't detract from Fallout 4. Not that there's much to detract from. But, I genuinely don't think that if this is the part that, like, they're on a downward slope and Fallout 76 is a very steep drop.
It is. If they don't do something about it, so it feels like in their mind, they're going, right, we're going to fix this in the next game. The next game's going to be the killer. What they should have done is fix this one. And what they should have done is help repair the damage that they had made to their own fan base by dealing with this issue rather than moving on to the next one. Right, look, we need to stop.
I was going to... Last thing. I would have happily waited another year for them to have fixed this.
Yes.
Everybody would have waited because nobody wanted the game. Nobody asked for the game. No, everybody would have waited because nobody knew what they were getting. It's just so bizarre. It was so bizarre. Anyway, right, look, we need to stop. No more Fallout 76.
Right, let's move on to a good game.
Yes.
Angry Red Dead Redemption Birds 2.
Oh, sorry. Go on then. You guys talk. I'm going to sit back again.
Oh my god, it's so amazing.
Was that a little bit of cum?
No, oh, not even a little bit. It's down my leg.
Oh.
Yeah, I said on the Lost podcast that this is the most perfect game I've ever played, and I still stand by it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a game I've now sold, and I'm never going back to, because I don't ever want to go back to that world, because it won't be the same doing it again.
No. Yep, I sold it as soon as I finished the campaign. I got rid of it, because the same with Red Dead Redemption 1, yeah. I just couldn't revisit it.
No, same here.
And the only reason that I might go back to it is if they release more single-player DLC.
Yeah. Full-on like story expansion.
Yeah, story expansion, like they did with Undead Nightmare. Yeah. Although I don't really want another Undead Nightmare.
No.
As good as that was. yeah, it is... probably... a little bit of hyperbole, but it is a perfect game. It is everything that I wanted in a game, and it is just brilliant.
Yeah. I think it's
so good.
It hits every single point along the way.
I hear this. I keep hearing it. Everybody's saying it. Everybody's saying the same thing. And I just... I have to draw the same parallel. Bethesda, every time Bethesda bring out a new game, a new Fallout game, they go, oh, it's buggy, sorry, but it's so big. It's a huge, 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 vast, story-driven game with so many elements to it. It's impossible for us to get everything right the first time. I think possibly Bethesda needs to have a word with Rockstar.
They certainly do.
Because this is a huge, open-world, single-player RPG, basically in the same vein, right?
Yeah.
And
it takes fucking ages to get across the map on a horse.
It's just... So,
I think I went through two horses just trying to ride across the map.
Do they die? Can you exhaust them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you can't exhaust them to the point of death, but you can exhaust them, and then they buck you off and run away.
Like, fuck this them off.
Which, to be fair, they're then dead to me.
Yeah.
Actually, no. They're dead to me once I've retrieved my saddle.
Right. This is so big that we're gonna. Can we break this down a little bit? So, because we're going to ramble on about it loads and loads and loads, but let's break it down a little bit, if that's okay. So, the opening, right? So, the end of Red Dead Redemption, without giving anything away, because I know that there are people that... Oh, do you know what? Fuck it. Give it away, because it's fucking ancient.
Haven't played it yet.
Right? It's ancient and ancient nation. So, the ending of Red Dead Redemption was epic.
Yeah.
Right? It was huge. It was one of the most surprising and...
genuinely emotional moments in gaming.
Moments in gaming, right?
Yeah,
it was huge. It was a huge, huge game, and it ended on such a huge note. And it wasn't a cliffhanger, but it kind of was at the same time, and they left it open-ended.
Yeah.
How is the start of this game? Does it kind of just blend in? It's just like, oh, this is however many years later, and here we go. Or is it a really punchy start?
No, so this is a prequel.
Yeah, it's set.
I didn't know this.
10 or 15 years before the first game.
Yeah.
Oh, so here's me sounding like a tit. And you know what? Actually, I think you told me this on the deleted episode as well, and I forgot. Yeah. You did. Oh, right. So this is a prequel game, and so you're not playing as John Marston, but I believe you told me that he is in it, right?
He's in your game. He's part of your game. Right, you don't play as him. But the story, there's some story parts in this that lead to things in the second one, and you find out how he gets his scarred face and all this sort of stuff. How he, his relationship with Jack, and Abigail.
Yeah.
Do we ever get any more insight into how zombies took over everywhere? Because that was one of the weirdest diversions. That was such a strange thing for them to do with that game. Apparently it was very good.
Well, that was a... So, going off piece slightly, that was a throwback to what Red Dead Revolver was originally supposed to be.
Right, okay.
So Red Dead Revolver was supposed to be, which is the kind of spiritual grandfather to Red Dead Redemption. That was supposed to be a supernatural gunslinger kind of Wild West game.
Right, okay.
And then they just made it an outright Wild West game.
Yeah. Right, okay.
And no one played it.
So this came... So, right, this has come out. Does it go into it hard? Does it really, like, throw you into the story, throw you into the action, or does it blend you in easily? Is there a big, long tutorial to kind of show you how you're supposed to whip a horse and stuff?
No.
There is kind of like a tutorial, but it's not a traditional tutorial. It's like the first chapter of the game is learning about the systems of the game and how things work and stuff like that. And there's little story missions within it. But it doesn't feel like you're playing a tutorial. It feels like you're playing the game.
Transparently done. They're teaching you stealthily. Yeah.
But what I mean, what I found with the first chapter was it was actually quite boring. It was very, very.
See,
slow.
That's the risk with tutorial chapters, because if they make them challenging and people die a lot, then people are just going, "Fuck this! I don't want to play this anymore." So you've got to make it accessible, haven't you? And then try and teach people at the same time. All right, so look, getting out of that, your first impression. So when you first got this game and you fired it up, it's probably going to be a little bit different on the One X compared to the One S. What were your immediate reactions? How does it look?
It's beautiful.
Really?
Beautiful.
Yeah, I first played it on the... I had an Xbox One before the One X. I skipped the S completely, and it looked great on the... release date.
I mean, let's face it, as a console player, you've got relatively low expectations. I mean, your bar is relatively low, right?
Yeah, but I am now playing 4K HDR gaming.
Exactly.
It looks fucking incredible.
I don't think a lot of console players who have never played on an Xbox One X or a PC or anything like that can really appreciate the difference.
Yeah. Like, I've got a 4K TV, HDR 100Hz, all that nonsense shit.
You might as well just go, "Oh, Lewis, you're a plaid."
Yeah, that's... I mean, I wasn't directly aiming it at you, but what's your experience been, Lewis?
Do you know what? Even on a standard HD with an Xbox One S, it's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't disagree with that.
There are moments in the game. So I used... there's a feature in it called cinematic mode, where you set a waypoint, set your horse off running, and you just go into cinematic mode, and it kind of focuses on you from different camera angles, but you don't have any... Well, you do, but you don't need to control your horse.
Yeah.
It just runs to where you need to go. Right. Kind of like a slow fast travel.
Yeah. There is no fast travel, is there? Is this the only method of fast travel that you have?
There's stagecoaches that can get you to and from places.
Right, okay.
I think I maybe used those once or twice, and that was in the end game. But
a lot of the fun of the game is just riding from point to point and seeing what happens on the way. Same as GTA in that respect. Yeah.
So do you get random encounters? Does stuff randomly happen, or is it all pre-scripted?
Yeah. About every 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, so is it pre-scripted or is it random?
No, it's random.
So they put a mechanism in the game that way out in the middle of nowhere, somebody might jump out from behind a rock and try and rob you, or whatever it is.
So there's, what, 3 or 4 gangs?
Yeah. And they strike at any time, whenever they want, basically.
But there's also bounty hunters. So if you've got a bounty on your head and you happen to be in the region that your bounty is for, bounty hunters will just jump out and be like, "Whoa!"
There'll also be bounty hunters that are collecting other bounties on other people, and you can choose to kill those bounty hunters and set that person free, and then that person can turn on you and try and steal your horse and fuck off.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
There was just no trust or fidelity in the Wild West, was there at all? Everybody was out to get whatever they could get. Does it really feel like you're in quite an organic world? That things are happening and it's your game? It's not anybody else's game. This isn't the experience that anybody else has had. This is your experience.
So you can be riding through and there'll be like, I don't know, a wolf chasing after a deer or something.
Mm.
in the game as you're riding past, and you're like, oh, holy shit, that wolf is doing his thing.
That's nature.
That wolf is wolfing.
And that deer can run into your horse and fuck you up, and you fly off
right.
it.
Can yeah. you play guitar or banjo while moseying on your horse?
No.
That's
but
very disappointing.
You can play the banjo. You just sit down and like...
I wanted to fully Buster Scruggs it. just like mosey on through the middle of the prairie. I don't know, whatever they had, some kind of thing. And playing me banjo and all that atmospheres and feels and things like that. When you get attacked, when there's random shit going on, I'm going to get to the main story and the main stuff in the game in a minute. When you're randomly attacked, is it always just bandits? Or can they be random, like could you come across like a person whose wagon has broken down or
yep.
something? There's all of that as well. So it's completely random scenarios.
So, well, yeah, and it's weird because there can be a scenario where there's a wagon and you go and help them and they go on their way. Or there's a wagon, you get off your horse to go and help them, and then you get ambushed.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So you never really know what you're getting into.
This is brilliant. It sounds amazing. This is what's got me about the game. I don't even know what's going on in the main story right now. Yeah, but this part of it, the random going out and exploring part of it, that's what I'm really excited about. In the original Fallout games, 1 and 2, you go to the world map to move around the map, and you choose a location, and you get like a little kind of dotted line on the map, you know, like Indiana Jones style yeah. dotted line going. Mm-hmm. And then randomly, at any point while you're traveling from point A to point B, a random encounter would happen, and it could be literally anything.
Yeah.
And it might just be a dude stood there that goes, hi, and that's it. That's literally yeah. it, and then you move on. And there's nothing to do with the guy, he can't sell you anything, he just says hi, and that's all. And then you move on. Or it could be a great big attack, or it could be a camp, and you could ignore the camp and walk around them and carry on your way, or whatever. That's the stuff that makes the game yours, right? That's the unique mm-hmm.
yeah.
the unique stuff that you get.
Yeah, Lewis talks about rival gangs. There'll be rival gangs that have just got, they've set up camp somewhere. And you can choose to just go and attack them and kill them all, set fire to them all, or you can just ride on past them and they'll leave you alone.
Can you join yeah. them? Can you like get in their good books or whatever?
Right. No, so you're already part of
a different
gang.
Right. Yeah.
So like in one region there's a gang called the Raiders, in another region there's the Murphy family, I think.
Yeah.
The like the cannibal woodsman.
They live in caves, don't they?
Yeah. Live in caves and probably eat people.
Yeah.
Is this the Murphys?
Yeah.
They do all like, fucking Irish, you've got to be careful.
The KKK are also in the game.
Oh,
are they?
God.
Yeah. Yeah, they're also in
I
the,
missed
they're
that.
Out in the woods somewhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah. What are they doing? They're just running wild and free.
Yeah, they have
with floppy hoods on.
They have burning crosses and all sorts of stuff, yeah. And they have,
do you know what?
Like meetings.
Actually, after I got rid of the game, and I know I said that I'm probably not going to go back to it, but actually I'm thinking I might now, because I've watched a number of videos of... So, you know, in GTA, they had all the kind of supernatural, like aliens and Bigfoot and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
I've watched videos on YouTube, and there's all that kind of sub-story in Red Dead.
Yeah, there's tons of secret things, aren't there?
And you didn't
yeah,
load it.
And I missed all
Rockstar
of that.
Are big for this.
They love it.
Rockstar,
yeah.
they love the... putting these little secret, not even Easter eggs, but little secret bits and bobs around the map for the intrepid explorer that really wants to go off the beaten path. You get a little
yeah.
reward.
Yeah, there's a vampire, there's a serial killer, these are all in the world. You just come across these little clues and you think, well, that must mean something, but then you forget about it and move on. And
There isn't Gavin.
What is, I feel yeah. like I'm missing something here.
So at random intervals throughout the game, like you could be, like I was wandering through a town and there's a guy wandering around going, Gavin, Gav. There's an English guy basically looking for his mate called Gavin.
He should have been shouting Alan. They should have called him Alan. That would have been brilliant.
But yeah, through I think 5 or 6 times I bumped into this guy. Like,
yeah.
one of them I was fishing for a legendary fish, and all I could hear in the background was, Gav,
where are you,
Gavin?
Oh my God,
Gavin, where are you?
Do you ever? Is there a side quest to find Gavin?
No, that's the worst part. They haven't included it yet.
So there is nobody knows what's happened to Gavin.
Just that they just lost his mind.
So he is just that is just an
and presumably doesn't have a job or anything else to do.
There's no quest line to it. That's it. Just this guy wandering around looking for his mate Gavin.
Jesus. See,
it's fucking nuts.
Everything makes me want to play it. I'm so... And you know what? The chances are pretty good that this isn't going to come out on PC, right? Because the first game never came out on PC.
Data miners have already looked, and there is apparently code in there to be able for it to be a PC release.
That doesn't fucking... The problem is that it will have been developed on PCs. It obviously runs on PCs. Because it would have been developed on PCs, right? But
I'm playing it on a PC in the box, basically.
Yeah, and that the Xbox is an x86 processor, right? It's basically a PC.
Yeah.
But whether they ever bring it out on PC is an entirely different thing. There are lots of reasons why they might not want to. And Rockstar has always been cagey about this. Christ, it was a year before we got GTA 5.
Mm.
So... Well, I really do hope it happens because I do want to play it, and I don't. And unfortunately,
you've only got 10 months to wait.
being a snob, I can't. I'm so close over Christmas. I was so close. There was like an Xbox One S offer, and I think it was like £140 or something. And I was like, Christ, that's cheap. And then I was like, no, I don't want to play it on an Xbox One S because I know that it could look better.
Yeah.
And so I want to get an Xbox One X, but I don't want to spend the money on an Xbox One X. And I just, I don't know. It's a bit annoying. And then part of me's going, no, fuck it, Rich. You're being an idiot. Just play it on the 1S. It's still going to be a great game.
Yeah,
it's not going to take away from it.
Well, no, you're for the probably insignificant upgrading graphics. You're not missing anything.
Yeah, that's the only advantage. Is that it looks slightly better. I played on the one, and it looked great. The one that clears some of the kind of haziness of the distance and stuff, but the fact that it runs on the Rage Engine, which came out in 2006.
Yeah.
And they're still going with this, and it came out for table tennis. They developed it for table tennis, and it looks fucking amazing still now.
But this is what happens, Bethesda, when you upgrade your game engine between games and don't just reuse the same fucking assets from the previous game that people didn't like very much.
Yeah.
Right, look, I'm going to move on to a couple of other things. I want to talk more about this game. I don't want to stop. Right, so we've spoken about your first impressions, the feel of it, the random interactions that you get, the world, which is really large, horses and all the rest of it. Mechanics. So we're talking guns and horses and generally walking around and interacting with people. Presumably this is fully voiced, right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So how does it feel from a technical point of view, from a picking up the pad and playing it? Does it feel nice and easy to play and intuitive, and is the gunplay entertaining and all the rest of it? Does it just feel good to play?
I think some of the controls are mapped wrong. Because there have been times where I've meant to greet people and I've just shot them in the face. And that feels slightly off
this
sometimes.
This is how we say hello in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So on more than one occasion, like I've had a sheriff or some deputies run up to me and go, oh my God, what happened here? Yeah. After I've just shot someone in the face. And there's the option to defuse, and you go, defuse, bang, straight in the face. Dead. You're dead.
But you didn't shoot the deputy, right?
And it's... There are bits where you can... The controls do feel a little bit off.
Can you change them? Are the different control profiles available, or is it just what it is?
I've not looked, actually, to be fair.
No, neither did I, to be honest.
I'm stuck with it.
Yeah. I just kind of...
I'll learn
this. I just kind of got... Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, so the controls possibly aren't as perfect as they could be. What about shooting? So if you're in combat, does it feel...
Gunplay is beautiful.
Is it really nice? Okay, because that's a really important part of it. And presumably there's tons of different types of guns. Is there tons of different types of guns?
Not that many, actually.
Right, okay.
No, there's about four in each class. You've got your snipers, your rifles and pistols. I like the, the more covert weapons, like the throwing knives or the bow and arrow.
Okay. See, I was kind of the opposite. I like dynamite.
Fully bang bang. 100% bang bang.
Dynamite and the volcanic pistol.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus. So it feels
punch, that does.
Okay, right. Yeah. So gunplay is excellent. A varied array of weapons. So
the,
next thing,
the last game that felt like it had as good a gunplay was probably Destiny.
Okay. So now, to be clear, this is the way that you play it. So when you get on a horse, it's third person, right?
Yes.
And when you're right, so is there no first person view at all? Is it always third person?
You can go into first person,
right?
If
okay.
you like motion sickness.
Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Is it really head bobby and wobbly and wibbly?
Yeah, you're on a horse. It's realistic. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Fine. So it's all very wobbly, wobbly. Right. Okay. That's fine. So next thing, progression. Is there leveling up? Is there acquiring equipment, making bases, earning money, getting better gear, all of that kind of stuff, or is it pretty much whatever you can scavenge?
Yeah, you can upgrade your gear, so you have to hunt for animals to get the pelts, to get like a bigger satchel, but it's all kind of secondary, like you don't have to do it.
No, you can like complete the game with the stuff you start the game with.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can finish the game with...
So in terms of progression, there's no like skill tree and there's no things that you unlock to make your gun play better.
No, it's upgrading your stamina. I think your health goes up or down depending on how much you eat and smoke and run, that sort of shit.
Right.
Yeah. So there are climate kind of...
modifiers.
Like you were saying about Zelda.
Yeah, so if you go into a cold region, you have to put on winter gear.
Yeah.
You need your big coat.
Which... Yeah, you need your big coat.
And do you need to make a big coat? Do you need to like cut open a tauntaun?
No, so you can buy different outfits, but you have got a lot of the kind of base outfits from the offset because you start in a cold region.
Right. And so obviously you don't start naked, it's not rust, you've got stuff and off you go and jobs a sausage.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. I'm trying to think of what else I want to ask about this. All right, fine, look, this is it. So the last thing, pretty much the last thing that I can think of, and there might be other things that you guys want to talk about, story. Main story and side story. So we're talking about the random events that happen while you're just moseying around. But the main quests and the side quests and how well everything gets knitted together, is it? How well does that feel? How well does it play?
I had a slight issue with one of the chapters where you get sent to an island, which I could have done without. But the rest of the story was just like a movie. It was a cinematic work of art.
Does it get bogged down in story? Is sometimes there a little bit too much, or is it just the right amount?
The only time that it gets bogged down in story is the chapter that Ross just mentioned.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, that seemed tacked on.
They could have cut that out completely and it wouldn't have made any difference to the story.
But the majority of the time, the pacing is spot on, right?
Yep.
I think so.
You can choose to do it at your own pace, basically.
Yeah, the thing that I found is someone will go, we need to do this. We need to do the thing really, really quickly.
Mm.
And then... you can dick about for 4 days.
Yeah.
4 days real time. You get doing haircut, side quests and stuff. Cut your mustache and you can cut your mustache.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's doable.
If you really wanted it, would you?
Is it like in GTA? Can you go to like a barber's with a skinhead and then come out with a massive afro and somehow the barber's added hair?
First.
You have to let your hair grow. Yeah. Same with facial hair. So, like, I grew in a huge mustache throughout the entire game and just shaved off my beard and chin.
Right.
Or cheeks and chin. Yeah, basically.
You get instant buyer's regret as soon as you shave off your beard as well, because you think, oh fuck, now he looks completely different. I don't like it, and I've got to wait now for this beard to grow back, like real life.
But you can buy or unlock hair tonic, which makes your hair grow a lot quicker.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
You can go to a barber, but you have to have the hair there to be able to have the hairstyle.
Seems really complicated. Frontier world problems. You know what I mean?
Blame the Witcher for this. This is their fault. They started this.
Oh, did they? Is this where it's come from?
Yeah,
it's... I couldn't recommend it more.
No.
The game, in general.
This game is the only game that has made me nearly buy an Xbox. And actually, if I was really thinking about it, I don't think I'd buy an Xbox. I'd buy a PlayStation, because this is on PlayStation 4 as well, isn't it? And the only reason I would buy an Xbox is so that I could play Red Dead Online with you guys, which we haven't spoken about. I don't know if you guys have played that at all.
Nope, didn't bother.
Nope.
Didn't bother with it. Okay, other people.
In fact, I'd already sold my game before
it even came out.
Don't want that for my single player story game, thank you.
No! Don't need any of that. Actually, the GTA Online was really good.
Yeah, they put
the online elements of GTA was excellent. Was excellent. If they learned a lot of lessons from that, then potentially it could be excellent.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't know. Right, look, we need to get off this again.
Sorry,
no, you go.
I was going to say for multiplayer, I'd be kind of up for it doing a gun game style mode.
Yeah, I think scenarios would be amazing in that kind of thing. They made a scenario for the shootout, the OK Corral, and stuff like that, where you and a couple of your mates get together, a little bit like the heists in GTA Online, and you've got a load of NPCs coming at you, and they're trying, and you've got to blockade the place and try and survive and shoot your way out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that would be really cool if they did that kind of stuff. But I don't really know what direction they've gone with it. I think they've gone very GTA. Online, I think they've gone kind of, it's the open world and they're adding stuff in that you can do exclusively for online play. Right, look, we need to get away from this now, because we had all that damn Fallout 76, man. That was a problem. And I spoke about the Switch for about 14 hours. So are there any closing comments that you guys have got about this game?
I think
buy it.
I think if you want to feel like a cowboy, buy it, because who doesn't want to feel like a cowboy?
Yeah.
It is Cowboy Simulator. Yeah.
Cowboy Simulator 2018.
Yep.
This is as close to being a cowboy as you'll ever get.
Yeah. This is as close to being a cowboy as I think I ever want to get.
And I don't like leaving the house. At the end of it.
Yeah. Okay. Oh,
without getting the tuberculosis.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Red Dead Redemption. We're done. We're done. We're not going to talk about it anymore. Right, we've got other stuff to talk about. We're not going to talk about it. we're going to do it another time. This episode will be lost in a couple of days. So we really hope that you all enjoyed not listening to it. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 85A. We will be back next time with episode 85B.
Or C, or D.
Which you can all enjoy not listening to as well. This has been the first episode of 2019. We're going to be doing more this year. Hopefully, we're going to be putting out more videos, more Twitch streams, more maybe Mixer.
Imagine what we were doing, the kind of tail end of last year, but a lot more this year.
Yeah.
We hope. And hopefully a regular release schedule, or regular-ish. You know what? If we get 12 episodes out this year,
success.
I'll be all right. Or actually, do you know what? If we record 12 episodes and release half of them, I think I'll probably be okay with that too. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 85A. I have been Rich. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen, that's Zebwen. Ross has been...
Here, RossBell 1984 on Twitter.
And Lewis has been...
At Louis_Kong.
Thank you very much. You can find all of us at Ready Player 2. That's at ReadyP2 on Twitter. You can find us at Ready Player 2. That's two.co.uk. There are loads of other places that you can find us. The best thing that you can do is either go to the website or go to Twitter. The pinned tweet at the top of Twitter will tell you all the lovely places that you can find us on the internet. And our website has also got links all down the sides where you can find us and we'll do all kinds of stuff. We are Twitch streaming fairly regularly. We've got YouTube videos coming out as well. We're going to have new podcasts coming out, possibly not in January, but definitely in February. You're going to be seeing a bit of us this year, hopefully. And hopefully some of us might even be at some shows this year.
Yeah.
Possibly EGX.
Yeah, I think me and Ross might be doing Res.
Yep.
Lovely. So if you want to actually come and touch us, disclaimer, you're not allowed to touch us, but if you want to come and be in our vicinity...
I mean, you can play fast and loose with that rule with me.
You know what? I'm all right with it.
Just give me a heads up first.
Give me a head. What?
Sup? I'm gonna touch you, I'm going
to touch you, and there's nothing you can do about it. I've been told I'm not allowed to say that anymore. Right, look, we're gonna go. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 85A. Good night.
Good night.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.